First Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning. First Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul is writing this letter to the church here, remembering his visit with them and recounting some things of the ministry there. And in verse 7, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that ye believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are such a loving Father. Who could care for us like thee? We praise your holy name. And dear God, I ask for the filling of your Spirit, which you have provided through your Son. Help me, please, to minister the word to your church this morning. Those also that are with us online, speak to every heart and help each one. Fill my dear wife with your Spirit, relaying the message in sign. We do thank you for the very applicable lesson in the adult Sunday school, and for the children's Sunday school, the word that's gone forth, dear God. Help us to follow your word, to walk in the Spirit so that we might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Father, I pray that your word would go forth. There may be someone seeing our services today who's not saved. I pray that if there's someone that doesn't know for sure they go to heaven, that they would get that settled today. Father, for all who have received the gift of eternal life, which you will give to anyone who trusts in your Son, we owe a debt of love, because we know that your word teaches that once we are saved, we are secure eternally in the love of Christ. And you have compelled us by your love and continue that we might serve you, that we might turn away from those sins that we repented of in our hearts when we got saved, that we might begin to live a new life by your power and for your glory. I pray especially for fathers today, and as we celebrate this Father's Day. And Father, give grace and wisdom to help us to be fathers more like you and to grow in our ministry as a father, those who've had that calling in their lives. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We need revival in our nation. And we need that in our own hearts first as believers if we're going to see that. Please help us, Lord, we pray, and bless our service this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Entitled the message this morning simply, As a Father. The Apostle Paul, as he started these churches, it's obvious that people would get saved under their ministry. As they moved into that town, they would share the gospel, people would get saved. So in a sense, Paul became a spiritual father to many of those in the church, because God used him to share the gospel whereby they were born again. Now, he called Timothy his own son in the faith. Why? Because Paul led Timothy likely to faith in Christ, or like it was likely during his preaching probably that Timothy got saved. And so he's got the heart of a father to these churches. And I think there's some things that we can apply to have the heart of a father, the heart of a grandfather, amen, the heart of a great-grandfather, amen. As we get older, that list gets longer, doesn't it? And it can be an encouragement to us. And by the way, it's an encouragement for all of us as Christians just to be an example for all those around us. I appreciate the praise that Sister Stephanie shared earlier about the children being able to be in our church. We're thankful for them. I'm thankful for those children. But just being thankful that they're around godly people and an encouragement for them to grow. And I am thankful for that as well. What a blessing it is. As a father, Paul writes in verse 11, As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And we'll be looking at that this morning, those three verbs there, exhorted, comforted, and charged, and make some applications to fatherhood or being an example. First of all, we see that a father must exhort his children in the way of life. Point number one, a father must exhort his children in the way of life. You know how we exhorted every one of you, he says. To exhort is to encourage or to embolden, to cheer, to advise, to give strength, spirit, courage through advice, to urge by arguments to good deeds. It's putting forth these encouragements to live for the Lord, to live this Christian life. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and inspired by the Spirit, of course. And he spoke of the emptiness of life apart from knowing God. And for fathers today, I would encourage you, I would exhort you to realize that apart from God, life is empty. And you won't be able to handle the emptiness that your children will meet when they look at this world. You won't be able to help them unless you have met that challenge. And realize that there is an eternity, amen. There is a God. There is a heavenly Father who is our example. And he wants us all to become his children through faith in Jesus Christ. We can't help our children if we haven't been helped, amen. If we don't have God's Spirit living in our hearts, we won't have God's Spirit in us to help our children know who Jesus is. Know that this world is not the end. There is a life that we live. It's the life that we live for Jesus as Christians, looking for Jesus to return as he promised. Teaching our children about this way of life, that is, this Christian life, By the way, it's much different from the world, isn't it? You see, we're foreigners here. The Bible calls us pilgrims and strangers, foreigners in this land. We don't look out at the world as fathers and say, well, I want my kids just to have a lifestyle where they live like the ones who make the most money. That's not the answer. We know that. Some of the most miserable people in the world are yet among the richest. That's not the answer. Christ is the answer. And they need to know Christ. We must know Christ, have been born again. They're going to need that strength as they look at a world that is indeed empty, apart from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul himself wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:32, after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. If I have ministered or preached the word against and been confronted by violent men, put my life in jeopardy, he goes on to say, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. We see that. So we look to the resurrection. We live for eternity. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. I saw a post this morning. It was a man looking in the mirror, and there was a young man in the mirror, but the guy looking in the mirror was an old man, haggard with beard, and that was the verse that was on there. How quick time goes by. We need to serve the Lord while we have time, while we have opportunity, like we saw in our lesson this morning. People need to see Jesus in us, and we need to be close to Him. Life today, it seems there are so few that know the way, that know Christ. Broken marriages, suicide, drugs, violence, stealing, greed. It's all over. And none of these things have a place in Christ. Jeremiah 10:23, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah the prophet says, let me tell you something, man. You don't know how to live life. You don't know where you're going in and of yourself. I'm glad God didn't leave us to ourselves. Amen. I'm glad He sent His Son to this world to show us the way of life, to be the way of life and eternal life, to die for us and rise again, that our sins could be forgiven if we call upon Him in faith. Turning in our hearts from our sins, Lord Jesus, I believe You're the sinless Son of God. Forgive me and save me. I put my trust in You now. And I thank You for Your promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is it that simple, preacher? Yes, it is. Very costly to God. Very costly to our Lord. But offered only freely to those who believe. It's good to know the Lord. Exhorting children in the way of life. And the way of life is really not a plan, it's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw this just a few messages ago. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he started that passage saying, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. As you believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ also. Is what he's saying. He's saying to them, you've got a further revelation now. That's what this book is. It's a record of the progressive revelation of God revealing himself to mankind. There was a time when those great prophets of history didn't know that that the Savior's name would be Jesus. There came a time when they knew when that was revealed. Amen. And now we know that he has died for our sins and risen again. And Jesus is saying, you believe in God, believe also in me. Now we must believe that God sent his Son to die for our sins and to rise again the third day. He is a sinless Son of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 1, in fact, tells us he was God in the flesh who died for our sins and rose again. What father would not want to show his children the way that leads to mansions in heaven? There are probably many out there would want to show them that, but they haven't learned that way themselves. You've learned that this morning already, whether you realize that or not. Through faith in Christ. And faith in Christ alone. He is the way. I'm thankful for God showing us the way. Several years ago, my wife and I went fishing up to a mountain lake called Marion Lake. It was a glorious day for me. I'll tell you why. My wife loves to hike. I wasn't much of a hiker. We began to do it together. I love to hike now too. We like walking together and hiking. Well, Marion Lake is a lake in the Jefferson County wilderness, and it's about, I'm guessing, 2.5-3 mile hike, switchbacks up the mountain, back and forth, up the mountain. It's a walk into that lake. They do stalk it some. They have to stalk it by air. Well, I said, it happened to be a free fishing day. Didn't have to buy a license. So I told my wife, I said, well, we might as well take a couple poles. And we can get a line wet on our way up there. She caught her limit, and she's been hooked ever since. And now we both have fun hiking and fishing. Amen. We went up there one year. There was still snow in the wilderness. And the trail is pretty plain when you're on the switchbacks. Pretty clear. You can't hardly make a wrong turn. But once you get up to the flat, it flattens out, and it's a ways to the lake, and the trails aren't so clear. And matter of fact, leaving the lake sometimes, it can be hard to find where that trail starts to get you to those switchbacks. I remember leaving one time, we were having a hard time finding it, but there was some snow in the ground here and there, and it was a relief to find some footprints. We sang that song, Footprints of Jesus, amen, that make the pathway glow. And I tell you something, that pathway glowed when we saw those footprints, all right? Because we were glad that we found the way. Someone had gone before us. And you know, we have those that have gone before us in this book, amen. And God's not trying to hide the way. We have his word here preserved for us in our King James Bibles. And he tells us the way is Jesus Christ and his faith in him. And there are many that have trusted him. We see their lives in here. We also see what? The lives of those who did not believe. And sad to say, that's a pathway too. Matter of fact, that is a broad pathway. And not one that we want to be on. The Father would want to show his children the way that leads to mansions in heaven. John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, that flesh profiteth nothing. That life that he gives. But the broad way, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's a broad way to miss heaven. It's a straight gate. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's pretty narrow. That's pretty narrow. He's the only way. And faith in him is the only way. What about all the other religions, preacher? Let me repeat it. He's the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's through him. Fathers need to exhort their children to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for that, they need to do it themselves. You need to make sure you're trusting. You've been born again. Trust Christ as your Savior. This word exhort here in our New Testament is always associated with living wisely and responsibly in this life according to the truth that is revealed in the Word of God. It is praising God by growing in the grace and knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. When the apostles were preaching the Word of God in the temple, they were thrown into prison multiple times. I believe the first time that they were thrown into prison, an angel came and opened the doors and said in Acts 5:20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people, here it is, all the words of this life. They just were hauled out of the temple, arrested, thrown in jail. Isn't God merciful to us to hear the message? Amen. The angel didn't say, now flee and try to find a place to hide real quick before they come. He says, go right back where you were. And by the way, preach the same thing. All the words of this life. The angel's not saying, go out and teach his people how to make it good in this world. You know, how to be all that can be in this world. Uh-uh. He's talking about all the words of the Christian life. See, it's totally different among those who are living the worldly life. This life is through faith in Jesus Christ. This life is following Him, amen. This life is for Him and glorifying Him. I was listening to, we're talking about having Brother Stevens possibly in soon, and I was listening to a message of his recently. And when you get saved, you give up the American dream. Because it's not what you want anymore, it's what God wants. The American dream is, you know, get your house, get your car, get your good job, those things that you want and desire in life. But God says, no, my son paid for you. I gave you salvation freely. And when we trust Christ as Savior, we receive him as what? Lord and Savior, amen. That means he's the boss. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we are debtors. Once you're saved, you can't get unsaved. And that's only because of his love, folks. So because of that keeping love, we are debtors just to love him for the rest of our lives. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Doesn't get you to heaven. but trusting in Jesus Christ does. They were citizens of heaven. Go teach them how to live this life. When Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, was a man who was seeking God, he didn't know all the details about Jesus Christ yet and salvation. He was a believer in the God of the Jews, the one God of the Jews, and he was seeking, and God knew that. God will always lead seekers to the truth. Did you know that? He was doing that with Cornelius. And as Cornelius was praying one day, an angel came and spoke to him. And in Acts 10:4, he looked on him. He was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Did you get that? Peter knows what you need to do. Talk to him. This is God speaking to Cornelius. Well, why couldn't he just hand it there? Because God has handed that to you and I, amen? You need to call for Peter. He knows what you ought to do. By the way, brethren and sisters, we ought to know what people ought to do, amen? God ought to be able to send them to us and say, "Go see so-and-so," because they'll tell you what to do, what you need to do. We ought to know how to lead somebody to Jesus Christ, to faith in Jesus Christ through the Scriptures. We ought to be able to tell them about this Christian. They're not going to understand the living of this Christian life till they get born again. We've studied that. But they can understand the gospel. They can receive Christ as their Savior. As their Savior. Exhorting. Exhorting their children to live this Christian life. Teaching them how to live it. It's a life that we live, what, to please God. It's not for ourselves. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You're not going to hear that message out in the world. By the way, you're not supposed to live for your own pleasure. You're supposed to live for somebody else's pleasure, and that person's God. That person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are a people in the midst of the world, but we're not of the world. We live a different life. But we have hope in our life, amen? We have eternal life. And that's what people need to see. One day, those who have followed the Lord and will see him at the judgment seat of Christ. Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Isn't that what we want to hear? By the way, your children will have hope if they realize they're not living for this life. Before we knew Christ, what does the Scripture say? At that time, you were what? Without God? You were without God, having no hope in the world. There's no hope apart from Christ. Don't try to point them to the world. You need the Lord. Therefore, the ultimate exhortation is in Acts 2:38, Peter is preaching, and in Acts 2:40, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Untoward means perverse, crooked, bent. Greek word is scolios. We hear of scoliosis, the curvature of the spine. You see, we have a bent nature that doesn't want to do the will of God. We have a bent nature that wants to say, live for number one. It's bent. I like how the Bible talks about a person who follows God is upright. Is trusting the Lord. Is living for His glory. Oh, our children need to see that. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4:16. Jesus came what? He said, to save us from our sins. He shall save His people from their sins. He didn't just want to save you and I from hell. Oh, He does want to save us from hell. And I'm thankful that that is the first part of our salvation that I think brings us peace. We get delivered from the wrath to come, according to also 1 Thessalonians. But He wants to save us what? From the practice of sin. He wants us to learn how to live this life. Not that life, where they're out there in all those sins, and they're too numerous to name, those things that are ungodly. Our children need to know that way, this life. They need to see that in us. I don't know that there's a greater revelation in the Word of God than John 3:16. For God so loved the world, what? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God that promise applies to our children. Amen. And anyone who will trust Christ as Savior. That simple gospel. Thou shalt bring forth a son, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Life's all about relationships. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And listen to how the Bible defines eternal life. John 17:3, Jesus speaking, this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Jesus is praying for us there. And He's praying to the Father, I want to know about eternal life, and here is eternal life. That they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. What did He say before? Ye believe in God, what? Believe also in Me. Remember that? If you don't believe the Son, you have faith in the Son. You have no connection with the Father either, according to the Bible. Because He has poured Himself out in the Son, His love to us. And in heeding the doctrines of the Word of God, we save ourselves. That is, we trust in the salvation God has given us. We get delivered from hell immediately. And we also receive power as we obey the Word to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And to grow more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge. Eternal life, knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ, having a relationship with Him. By the way, fathers, it's also knowing your wife. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Husbands, we have to get to know our wives. Say, why do I need to know about them? Everything. My wife's thinking, so you need to get to work here, buddy. I love my wife. We've gotten to know each other very closely over these years. It's going to be hard when the Lord calls one of us home. Personally, I think if it's me first, she'll probably do better than I will if God calls her first, but I enjoy my life with the wife that God's given me. And I love her with all my heart. And I know that she loves me. And we haven't given up, by the way, getting to know each other, trying to love and minister to each other in the ways that God wants us to. And we need to do that. One of the greatest testimonies you'll have, Father, to your children is your love for your wife. That's a message, amen. That'll change their lives. And we need that testimony. Number one, father must exhort his children in the way of life. Number two, a father must comfort his children in the woes of life. They exhorted and comforted every one of them. You see, your child's going to start out. Praise God, they get the foundation. Their salvation is in Christ. There's a heaven to live for. There's a hell to and sin to resist in this life. The hell is taken care of by Jesus Christ. I already discussed that. There's a sin to resist in this life once you're born again. But sometimes in the midst of it all, what happens? We get weak, don't we? Hebrews 12:3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Brother Austin, would you give me a glass of water, please? Thank you. The woes of life, they're going to come. Now, no matter how much someone is encouraged to live for Christ, going to be difficult times, trouble and sorrow, which can bring. Doesn't have to. We saw that in the lesson this morning. But they can bring discouragement and disappointment. Thank you, brother. But what did Paul say there? I've learned that whatsoever state I say I'm in, therewith to be content, therein to be content. Whatever state I'm in, whether it's abundance or poverty, prison or freedom, God can make us content. That's a miracle. It's easy to be happy when you're on the mountaintop, you know. But even in our old nature, we're not even content then, are we? It's like the man who owned the restaurant was listening to his cook. She said she was needing $5. She just wished she had $5 to pick up this thing from the grocery store or something, and on the way home. She said, if I only had $5, I'd take care of that. So he'd heard that and gave her the $5. He stopped outside the door and listened just to see if she'd give thanks for it. And she said, I wish I'd have said 10. See, she got what she was wanting, and then when she got it, she wasn't content with it. Isn't that the way we are sometimes? A father must comfort his children in the woes of life. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, here it is, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You can't help your children find comfort in God if you can't find comfort in God, is what the Bible's telling us there. If you and I, as fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, come in the midst of our trial, in the midst of our heartache, and we can't go to God and find strength to help us to glorify Him through that, we're probably not going to be able to help our children to do that either. Because we can say this all we want to them, but it means so much more when they see it. Amen. And it makes that impact in their hearts. That comfort. Robert Louis Stevenson tells of a storm that caught a vessel off a rocky coast and threatened to drive it and its passengers to destruction. In the midst of all the terror, one daring man, contrary to the orders, went to the deck, made a dangerous passage to the pilot house, and saw the steerman. He was at his post holding the wheel unwaveringly, and inch by inch turning the ship out once more to sea. The pilot saw the watcher and smiled. Then the daring passenger went below and gave out a note of cheer. "I've seen the face of the pilot," and he smiled. "All is well." And my friend, when we know the pilot, all is well. Amen. He's controlling everything. He watches everything that comes into our lives and allows nothing that can destroy us in our Christian faith if we'll trust him through that. Not a thing. He oversees all of that. Praise God. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows. Hebrews 4:15. And he said what? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Hebrews 5:13. That's our pilot. We sing that song. "He my pilot what? Here's my cry." Amen. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He will be with me what? To the end. Amen. And then thirdly and finally, Father must charge his children. Must charge his children. Paul charged every one of them. Every one of them. He charged them to entrust something to someone. To enjoin, to commit, to command, to order. See, you show your children faith in Jesus Christ, they get born again. That means the Spirit lives in their hearts. You show them the way of life, how they're supposed to walk in holiness within the power of the Holy Spirit, learning the Word of God, growing in their faith, being faithful to church, reading their Bible, praying. And as you're teaching them that, you're showing them what? Now you're doing all this for Jesus, but you're also doing all this what? That you might be a light to someone else. So someone, my son or my daughter, can follow in your path. Paul charged Timothy for the glory of Jesus Christ and for Timothy's testimony to be an encouragement to others. In the midst of our trials, never forget. What did Paul say there back here in 2 Corinthians? That we can comfort. We are go through trials and are comforted. Here it is. So that we can be able what? To comfort others. Don't ever forget that. This trial comes in your life. It's very difficult, whatever it might be. A loved one is ill. You're ill. A great financial loss. Relationships go wrong in a family or something. Somebody offends somebody else. And you're in a trial. May I remind you, people are watching you. They need to see you handle it. They need to see me handle it. They need to see that since we know many trials are going to come our way, it's encouraging, amen. It is comforting to see, wow, they handled it. Matter of fact, Paul wrote there in 2 Corinthians, he says, "By the way, when we went through these hard trials, we sought you and you comforted us. Therefore, that increased our faith because we know just as you comforted us in our trials, you will comfort them in their trials." when they seek you. That's encouraging. You know, I think of some of the trials that, you know, our kids have had and grandchildren along the way. And I remember how God comforted us in similar trials. You know, as a father, sometimes you just want to make all things go away. But that's only because we have this limited human wisdom, you know. Everything will be better. That's what people in the world think today. If people had perfect circumstances in their lives, nobody'd sin. That's what the world believes. Well, that's how it all started out in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? That didn't work out too good as far as keeping people from sinning, did it? No, because God gave us a free will, didn't he? And by the way, that free will is worse now than it was for Adam and Eve when they were first created. Because it's tainted with a desire towards sin in some way, I think, more than theirs, obviously. But charging the children to worship the Lord. Psalm 127:4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul writing to his own son in the faith, he termed it, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You know, to lay hold on something, you have to let go of the other things you're holding on to. What did Jesus say? Except a man forsake what? All that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. See, we have to trust him for everything and want to follow in his will. And by the way, he will provide everything that we need to follow in his will. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:13. I give thee charge, there it is, in the sight of God, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. What commandment? Fighting the good fight of faith. Keep that. Continue in that. Be bold in that. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, charging the children to be faithful in their lives, faithful witnesses. In 15:19, Captain Hernan Cortez landed in Veracruz to begin his great conquest of the Aztec Empire there in Mexico. And upon arriving, he gave the order to his men to burn the ships. There was a war that they were going to face, and there was no escaping. There's no plan B. We need to teach our children, and we need to be living this truth ourselves, that there is no escape plan from the will of God. We want to, and we will do. We will be resolved to follow Jesus, as we sing in the song. No turning back, no turning back. And we need to be living that, and fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers need to be instilling that in the children around them. There's a reason to live, folks, and it's for Jesus, and it's for eternity. Luke 9:62, Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. See, it's forward in the Christian life. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and finishing up here, David had some mighty men that served him. They loved God like David did, many of them. It says about these mighty men in 1 Chronicles 12:33, talks about the soldiers that were of the tribe of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000 which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. We learned in our preaching through the book of James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we learned in the context of the book of James that was talking about living for the world or living for God. If you ask in faith, nothing wavering, according to the context of the chapter, you are asking with a mind that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And I'm asking this because in my quest, in my desire, in my prayer to follow and be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that this is a request that will help me in that and something that God wants for me. These men were, they could keep rank. What does that mean? When the going got tough? When it looked like there was going to be a whole lot of bloodshed? There wasn't a turning back. They kept rank. The front line stayed the front line. If the front line fell, then the second line behind them, they stood their rank. If they fell, they stood their rank. There was no turning back. Because they were not of double heart. When they went out in to fight David's battles with God's hand upon them, it wasn't win or lose. It was win or die. And they wouldn't turn back. They wouldn't turn back. Another place says all these were men of war that could keep rank with a perfect heart. They went to Hebron to make David king over Israel. All the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And you know, the Lord has done so much for us. He gave it all, didn't he? He held back nothing. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the most horrid death. When the devil was throwing it all at him, trying to get him to turn back. What does the Bible say? He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. There was no turning back. Why? Because he loved me too much. And he loved you too much. And he knows that that was the only way any of us would get to heaven was on the coattails of his righteousness. And if he didn't do it, none of us would be there. He didn't turn back. And Jesus says now to all his disciples and to fathers, teaching their children, be born again, trust Christ as your Savior. Live a godly life. Teach your children there's an eternity to live for. And by the way, there's no turning back. We have to come to the place where we realize, I do not want to turn back. And I think that's a danger these days, just because the days are evil, they kind of wear us down. And the more time goes by, the easier it is what? Just slack off here, slack off there, begin letting things go. Paul told Timothy even at one point, stir up the gift of God that's in thee. And listen, there's hope for our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. If we just get stirred up, amen. If we just say, God, once again, I want to be that disciple you called me to be. I want you to be first. My son sent me some Omaha steaks for Father's Day. And beautiful card. My daughter has a gift for me at home. I haven't opened that yet. And they sent a beautiful card. And I was going through the paperwork of that Omaha Steaks thing. Anybody ever had those? Those are pretty good. We never buy them ourselves because they are a little spendy. but they're pretty good. But it had a Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes thing inside. And it was only one paragraph. It was only about yay big. All you had to do was sign your name. And you could be eligible to win $45,000. You don't have to buy anything to guarantee. You don't have to buy anything to win. Just throw it in there. I wish I could say I didn't sit there going, but I did. I was looking at it. We don't do that kind of stuff and haven't done that. And look at it. Well, just sign your name and throw it in there. You know? And I got to thinking. Now, if I sign my name and throw that in there, what's my mind going to be thinking about for the next month or whatever? Gee, did you see anything about the publisher's clearinghouse? I wonder, will it come? And it was like my father said to me, don't I take care of you? Just think, your mind might be drawn away to looking at that. Can I provide all your needs? And I said, thank you, Lord, and I just threw it away. I don't need that. I don't even need to have a chance to win that. I have a God who's always taken care of our needs. I don't need those things that try to go around God's ordained avenue of gaining a wealth, which is what? Hard work, amen. I don't need those things. I have a Father. And by the way, He is a loving Father. He has never failed. He has never failed to provide my needs. I've had, as Brother Chris mentioned this morning, most of us have far more than we realize. And I'd have to say that's been my testimony too. And I'm thankful for a loving Father, amen. And I'm thankful that knowing who He is makes me want to be a better father. Makes me want to be a better grandfather. And that can encourage us all in being examples to others for Him, for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your love to us in Christ. And God, truly Your love and Your care has been wondrous toward us. And I thank You for fathers today. What an opportunity and privilege to rear children. And Lord, to teach them how to be saved through faith in Christ Jesus. To grow ourselves in Christ, that we might be not only teachers as we are continually learning, but also examples. And in so doing, we'll give a strong foundation to our children, to our grandchildren. We'll give them hope that this world cannot give. Peace, the peace that Jesus gives, Lord, that this world cannot give. And it's not dependent upon the outward circumstances. And Father, we thank You for that, how this world needs Jesus. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to lay hold on eternal life and to be continually sharing the gospel opportunities that we get. Ministering the word to others, helping and letting You work through us to be a blessing to those around us in whatever ways that we can. And I pray that fathers today would be encouraged to draw closer to You, whether it be for salvation or just for renewed zeal and discipleship, Father. Would You please work in that? Please help each one. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.